Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. Dear listeners, in this program, we try to solve your problems, the issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and his purified family. Now, today we are discussing a very important topic, which is interfaith dialogue. How important is it for parents to teach their teens to get involved in interfaith dialogue? And to debate on the topic, we have Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
So, Professor Salman Nakavi, how important is it for parents to encourage their teens to get involved in the interfaith dialogue?
Yes, thank you very much. It's a very important issue. Today, we must realize that the human fraternity is coming close together, and in the age of the internet and the virtual reality that we live in, it is very important to be able to interact with our human brothers, as we call it. Islam considers humanity, based on humanity, to be a fraternity, a brotherhood. Then when it comes to Islam, within the fold of Islam, we have believers who are brothers unto each other. So this interfaith harmony has to be promoted. Interfaith brotherhood has to be promoted. We have to live a life, especially when we're living in Western countries, or even if non-Muslims are living in Muslim countries, there should be harmony between them. And we need to teach our children about this
religious harmony,
this important aspect of human life, and what Islam wants from us, that basically we need to be living a life which is of mutual well-being, which is a situation where everyone is reaching out to gain higher levels of perfection in this world and the hereafter. And that can only be achieved if we are living a life where people are helping each other, where people are interacting with each other, they are teaching each other, they are learning from each other.
Right.
So we need to teach our children to become aware of the situation, and we cannot have progress and advancement in human society, in the human race, until this fraternity and this brotherhood is established in the world. If we aspire for global governance, we need to be able to live together. So we need to be able to understand what our differences are and what our commonalities are. We as human beings have a lot of things in common, and we need to work around those common things and issues to build upon and to establish a human society which is living for the betterment of the whole human race.
Right. So what is important over here is that the first thing, the first step to teach your teens to be get engaged in the interfaith dialogue is to encourage them not to focus on the differences, rather come to the common terms and have a debate on the common terms. Well, we'll discuss more with you, Professor, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Naqvi, and we are discussing how important is it to encourage our teens for interfaith dialogue. And Professor Salman Naqvi is helping us. Professor, you said that it's really important to come on the common terms rather than focusing on the differences.
Yes, as I was saying, that amongst human race, we have people who believe in a religion, people who are atheists or agnostics. But those who believe in one religion, who believe in the one God, especially the Abrahamic religions, they can come on the common issue of believing one God. They have one, and they accept the existence of one true God, and therefore that is the point where we start off from within the Abrahamic religions, and we need to understand what they stand for. We need to teach our children what we stand for. We need to understand our own beliefs.
Right.
We need to teach our children the beliefs, the true beliefs that we hold, and the arguments and the reasoning for that. And we need also to teach ourselves and our children what other religions believe in. And so interfaith harmony cannot be established. The interfaith dialogue cannot be established
until you have a proper understanding.
If we are ignorant about someone.
Right.
So the ignorance causes animosity and enmity to take place. So we need to teach ourselves and educate ourselves and our children about what others believe, especially in societies where we are living with other communities, and we need to be able to understand the differences, and we need to be able to understand the common points, and so we can come together on the common issues, and we can understand our disagreements, and we agree to disagree on many things, but that should not lead to differences in our relations, or it should not cause animosity, it should not cause rejection of each other.
Right.
So that is an issue that has to be understood, that if we want to live in a peaceful manner, in peaceful coexistence, then we need to accept the differences also.
Right. So accepting differences is another point. And this beautiful hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who says that be a source of beauty for us, like whosoever sees you, your actions, it should be like they should get attracted to your religion with the actions, and actually introduce us to others through your actions. And I think that's a big message by Imam himself, teaching us that actions yes. speak louder than words, and we got to be after this deep understanding, and without any doubt, when we have understanding without any doubts, we got to be, our children should be encouraged to show all that in the practice. It should not be just like you learned something theoretically or you just heard something and that's it. It should show in the actions, and it would show in the actions if we have those actions. Well, I would want you to comment on that, but after a short break, dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, Honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We are with Professor Salman Naqvi discussing the importance of interfaith dialogue in teens.
Yes, thank you very much. So we were discussing that we have differences and we have agreements, and we need to understand those differences and the points that we agree upon. And as you refer to the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he was saying that, where he has been quoted as saying that kunu zainan lana wa la takunu shaynan alayna, it means that he wants us to be a source of pride for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We are considered to be their followers, so we should set an example, and that example will reflect very positively on the image that is being formed in other communities about our imams, that the imams have taught their followers such beautiful things. So we need to understand that the imam, any imam, would want us to behave in a manner that we attract people towards us, towards our faith and towards our beliefs. And that is through practicing what we believe.
Right.
And that's through acting upon what has been ordained upon us. And we have been asked to carry those things out, and we have been prohibited from something, so many things. If we refrain from those things which we have been prohibited from by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, based on the teachings of Islam and the commandments of Allah Almighty, then we shall become a source of pride for our imams, and they will feel honored by this behavior of ours when we become examples for others and role models for others, and it will reflect positively upon the imams who are basically they are the sources of our religiosity, and they are sources of our being obedient to Allah Almighty. So we need to, as in any case, when you, for example, they are the heads of our families, they are
right.
Heads of the family of the Islam and the Shia faith and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. Of course, they are imams of the whole of humanity. And that is what we should be trying to do.
Right.
Our children should become good citizens of the world, of the society. They should behave in a way that people just point out and say, look, these are the followers of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam,
right,
and
exactly.
Therefore their behavior is so nice, so polite, so warming. So they extend out to each other and to others to bring them into their fold, and they feel for humanity, they
right.
feel for the human fraternity, and they really want humanity to progress. So nowadays the images that are being given out to those who don't accept our beliefs or do not accept our faith, the image which is given out to society is that Muslims and Shia Muslims especially, they are savage people, they are barbaric or whatever.
Right.
So these images have to be, these perceptions have to be managed.
Right.
And the best way
By the actual practice, by the real practice.
Exactly.
Not the things, not the innovations that are being introduced in the societies. Well, let me give an example. We in Kashmir live in a Muslim society. It's 95% Muslim. Muslim state, and we have some 5% of the people who are from other religions, be that Hindus or Sikhs. And I have read the stories in just recent Ramadan. I was going through the articles, and it was a story by a non-Muslim woman who said, seeing the behavior of these Muslims, I practiced fasting for one day. And then when I felt that peace within my heart, I practiced it for the whole month. And now it's my practice it's been 40 years I have been fasting as a non-Muslim, just seeing the behavior of these Muslims. So it's really the practical way we behave or show, reflect our religion can actually inspire many others. And sometimes without any dialogue, you can actually invite people towards the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the humanity. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us, and it was really helpful. So their parents, their brothers, their sisters, encourage your teens for interfaith dialogue. It will actually form their roots of belief, and they would inshallah prosper in this world and hereafter. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you want to listen to our programs again, go back to our official website, which is www.farstoday.ir/en. Go to the tab Call of Islam, and you'll find an archive of our programs there. You'll also find us on the social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. If you have any queries, any questions, or any feedback, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all.